Welcome to this Ag Perspectives podcast here from the Radio Oklahoma Network and OklahomaFarmReport.com. I'm Ron Hayes. So glad to be along with you today. And our special guest on this Ag Perspectives podcast is Alex Henry, or Alexandra Henry, the Eastern Region National Vice President of the FFA organization. She's a young lady from the state of Michigan, and I was able to catch up with her as she was traveling around the country to various state FFA conventions. She made her way to Oklahoma, having the chance to see one of the best state conventions in the country right here in the state of Oklahoma. And we had the chance to talk with her about a variety of things, about her time as national president and where she sees FFA going.
Talking today with Alex Henry, who is the National Vice President for the Eastern Region of the National FFA Organization. Alex, let's talk a little bit about your year as a national officer. You kicked it off, of course, this past October. You've had several months now under your belt. Tell me a little bit about the experiences that you've had.
Oh, it's just been phenomenal. They estimate that we travel about 140,000 miles, 330 days a year, and they try and get us home about 2 days a month is what they really try to do. But so far this year, I've spent 2 weeks in Japan with a exchange program with FFJ, Future Farmers of Japan. We were in the Rose Parade and actually got to go to the Rose Bowl, but the FFA float and the Rose Parade actually won the sportsmanship award, and we were really proud of that. And State President Amy Peel actually got to come as well, with state presidents from all over the country. So that was really exciting. We've been to Tennessee. I just got back from Alaska State Convention, where there were 53 members present. So coming to Oklahoma is just so cool to see the difference between those two states and the rich agriculture. The grassroots agricultural support here is just phenomenal.
Tell me a little bit about your FFA career. How did you get to the point from starting as green hand to hearing your name called last fall in Indianapolis?
Oh, well, pretty much a lot of hard work and being blessed way more than I deserve is how I got here. I started FFA in seventh grade. My dad is actually my FFA advisor and ag teacher. So I like to say I was born in blue corduroy. I knew opening and closing ceremonies by the time I was about seven, because I went with dad all over the place. I was a daddy's girl. So we only lived on an acre and a half, had a pool barn with a couple ewes that I raised some show lambs for county 4-H and FFA members. But what really made me fall in love with the organization was the leadership side. And really being asked for the first time, who is Alex Henry? And being able to define who I am and then how I can serve others. And that's where I really fell in love with the organization, competed in numerous career development events, public speaking, extemporaneous public speaking, agricultural communications, and loved those, and then decided that I wanted to serve all the people that represented something that I loved. And that's agriculture, that's education, and that's agricultural communications. And that's where my heart really lies. And so I ran 2 years ago, and my name wasn't called, and I decided that, you know, it was still my heart to run, prayed a lot about it, and ran again, and was blessed to have my name called and have been on a whirlwind tour of the nation for the past 6 months.
You've had a chance to sample a lot of different agriculture and a lot of different FFA-type programs. Tell me about, you know, what does agriculture represent, or what do you see as agriculture being today versus maybe what you thought it was 2 or 3 years ago?
The definition for agriculture has just exploded in recent years. It went from, you know, old McDonald in a pair of overalls to agricultural science, business, technology, including natural resources. And it's just so cool to see how that definition of agriculture appeals to so many students. We're seeing programs all over the country that are focusing in aquaculture, that are focusing in forestry, that are focusing in urban areas, doing urban farming, community-supported agricultural systems. And it's just so awesome to see that there is no one-size-fits-all agriculture. Agriculture adapts and really applies to all people in all states and all cities. And it's been so cool for me to go to different places and learn how that agriculture fits into the local economy. And It's so diverse. I mean, I visited the Chicago High School for Agricultural Sciences, which is the last farm, they say, in Chicago, where students are learning food science and actually learning all the safety techniques and the registered kitchen facts that they need to actually produce jams and jellies for the community. And then I go out to rural, very rural New Mexico, where they have a traditional farm and are raising beef cattle for local consumption. So it's been so cool for me to open my eyes to the agriculture beyond Michigan and the Great Lakes.
Now tell me a little bit, obviously with your dad being a VOAG teacher, or ag education teacher is the proper terminology these days, but mm-hmm. but how does ag education and FFA, how do they meet? How do they intersect?
What's so cool about FFA is that it is the only intracurricular organization in career and technical education. Mm-hmm. So what's awesome is our students are receiving not only classroom education, which we think is really awesome because not only are they learning in the classroom, but they're getting hands-on experience in a laboratory setting, whether that's, you know, under a using microscopes, or whether that's going out to a school farm, school greenhouse, school ponds, school woods, anything like that. Our students are really getting those transferable skills that we might not find in a calculus or a chemistry class. So that's really awesome. But what FFA does is it really is cross-sects into agriculture education, that classroom learning. We teach leadership, personal growth, and career success in our classes. And then students get a chance to actually try that on with FFA. And the ways they do that, we have career development events where students can practice public speaking, job interview, parliamentary procedure. And many of us that have been to school board meetings or city council meetings know that the more people we can get knowledgeable in Robert's Rules of Order, the better. So what's so unique about FFA and ag education is they walk hand in hand. Right. And you can't really have one without the other.
As you think about where FFA is today, you know, imagine with me, you know, you're, say, 40, 45 years old. I know it's a long time way down the road, mm-hmm. but you've got kids of your own, and they're looking at maybe an organization to be involved with. What do you think FFA will look like 20, 25 years down the road?
What I hope is that FFA manages to show everyone else the true value that we've experienced. It's really hard to quantify communication skills and personal skills. I was just talking to the head of the Indiana Department of Agriculture, and he told me within the first 5 minutes of an interview, I can tell you if a candidate was an FFA or not. And I think that's saying something. And it's hard to quantify those things, but we can quantify the science that students are learning in their classrooms. We can quantify the math that they're learning in their classrooms. So my hope is in 40, 45 years, we see an agriculture education that is recognized by legislators, that is recognized by everyone in education, that is recognized by mainstream communities as a valuable way, a valuable venue to learn science, to learn technology, to learn business, and for people to understand that agriculturalists aren't a dying breed. And if they are, we are in trouble. And we need to really invest in that future of agriculture that we all believe in.
Tell me what you feel FFA has given you. In other words, you've given a lot to FFA up to this point. What do you think FFA has given you?
Now, FFA has given me way more than I could ever give it. I think the biggest thing is confidence. Pretty much the middle school and high school environment that we live in now does nothing but demoralize students with the way that people treat you and the things you see on the news. You know, all you see is young people getting into trouble. And what FFA did for me was gave me role models to look up to, gave me a bar to shoot for, and just really was an outlet. I call it FFA land, because when you walk into a room of agricultural education students or walk into a room of FFA members, the mood is just, it's lifted, because all those students truly believe that they can make a difference in the world. And not all students feel that way. And that's what it gave me, was that optimism and that save the world mentality, to shoot big and know that my part, I'm just one person, but united with, you know, the 15,000 other people that are out in that auditorium, with one passion, one agricultural vision, one belief. I think that it has just helped me grow immensely. And like I said before, define who I am and what I want to do with my life.
Where do you see yourself going after this year?
Well, I will be back at Michigan State University. I'm a junior currently studying agriculture communications and agriculture education. So first and foremost, I got to finish up school. But by 2020, when I finally graduate, I'm hoping to probably get involved in agricultural communications and use my agriculture education to bridge the gap between producers and consumers. And that's what I'm really passionate about. So whether that's working for Farm Bureau, Farm Credit, whether that's, you know, out campaigning and educating consumers, only time will tell. But I know that my heart really lies with agriculture and with communication and education.
One last question. You know, you mentioned communication, and I know that obviously compared to, say, even 5 or 6 years ago, we've got so many new social media type tools. How's the National Officer Team using some of these tools like Twitter or Facebook, or are you using those?
Oh, my gosh, yes. It's funny because you talk to National Officers from 10 or 20 years ago, and they said that they were responding to most members through mail. Today, it takes me... I have to keep up with Facebook and member contacts. It probably takes me, I would say, an hour a night just to respond to all the comments, all the messages that we get on our personal pages. Mm-hmm. We also, as a National Officer Team, have our own web page, our own Facebook page, a fan page, where we post statuses too. So students all across the country can say, oh, Alex is in Oklahoma right now, about to go to their first session. Or, Bethany might be in Massachusetts, or maybe the whole team's out visiting Ford or Dodge. It's really cool for our members to get to see what we do and for the whole nation to understand the job of National Officers and the huge, huge mission that we have as FFA members. In addition, we have a National FFA Facebook page that our media team works religiously on, and that's they spend probably, I would guess, a third of their day working on that Facebook page for members to post pictures from their events. They ask questions to get dialogue going about how to make a presentation to a school board to prove that FFA is vital. We are just seeing an explosion of social media. We even have our own social media. It's new and upcoming. It's called FFA Nation, and it's a social media site strictly for FFA members, and many of our team Twitters as well. So it's crazy, and we're seeing not only FFA members, but agricultural groups use it as well. I know Michelle Payne Knoper, she does, I believe it's food chat or ag chat. And I know I followed that a lot when I was a National Officer Candidate preparing. And it's just so cool to see agriculturalists really mobilize and start telling their story through all different venues.
Great. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much. Hopefully you got something.